So we're about to start a study together, something that is near and dear to all of us, and namely trouble. And every one of you here are in trouble. You got trouble in your life, I can promise you. And if it's not your own personal trouble, it's trouble with people you love, like your kids, your grandkids, relatives, friends, church members. Something. Part of the consequences of living in the world that we live in, which is a world full of sin that God is allowing to exist. God is allowing it, remember. If God wanted to stop, He would stop it. And there's going to come a day, according to the scriptures, in which He's going to stop it. And you'll know when that happens. This is not that day. So until that day, there's going to be trouble. Varying degrees. And in fact, as the time goes, the trouble is going to increase. Global trouble is going to increase. And already we have on the horizon political and otherwise, the beginnings of, I think, an intense time of trouble that the Bible speaks of. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 together. And let's just stop for a moment and pray and ask God to open our eyes and to teach us. And we have so much to learn. The main lesson we're going to be learning is that trouble is in your life to teach you something. And so that's what we're going to be asking God to do. Open our eyes to see. Help me see where I'm resisting you. Help me see where I'm not understanding. So let's ask God those very things, okay? Heavenly Father, we are asking that as indeed we have trouble in our lives. We have stresses, we have strains, we have problems. We have things that we've caused, we have things that other people have caused. We have things that we can't blame on anybody. It's just the world that we live in. But God, we know that you're allowing things to be the way they are. And we also know, God, that there is a purpose in the trouble in our lives. And so, God, we so want to take hold of that. We so need to see your perspective on the trouble that's in our lives. We so, God, need to understand. I pray, God, for a greater understanding than maybe we ever have. So many people in this room who are much more mature, been through a lot more life than I have, who are maybe experts on trouble. Because they've seen it, they've been through it, they've been on both sides of it, in the middle of it. But God, we still stand to learn something. We're all your children here, and we know, God, that you want to reveal yourself to us. So that's what we want. We want to align. How do we get in the light of that? How do we get in the place of that? We ask you, God, to bring us to that place. Open our eyes, Lord, through your word. Teach us. I pray, God, drive it home, drive it deep into our hearts. Change us. We know that's one of the main purposes of trouble. Thank you so much, Lord, for the time that we're going to have together. We ask you to bless it. We ask, God, that it would go well, deliver us from any problems or troubles while we're going through this. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The purpose of trouble, trial in our lives. God's number one purpose in your life is to save you. That's God's number one purpose. He paid a very dear price. He pulled out all the stops to rescue you, to save you from sin, to guarantee you a home in heaven. God's desire is that you be with him, not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance, the scripture says. That's God's heart. But obviously, hell is going to be well populated. But not because God wanted that. That's not what God wants. God wants people to be with him. The fact is, though, people have a decision to make, and we have to make that decision. So God's number one goal for you is that you be saved by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And after you've trusted Christ as personal Savior, his only goal left for you is your sanctification. Now, I will say this. He pulled out all the stops to save you, did he not? So I would submit to you that he will go to great lengths to sanctify you. Maybe any lengths to sanctify you. Is that okay with everybody? Is that okay? Not okay. But it needs to be okay because that's the way it's running. Most of you here are parents, have been parents, have grandkids, kids. Your kid that was underneath your discipline, was there certain things that, I mean, if he just bucks hard enough, I'll let him do whatever he wants. Is that the way you ran your house? No. He wants to take it up a step, I'll take it up a step. He wants to go further with this, I'll take it further than this because the rules are my rules. And not just because it's my rules, because it's what's best for him. It's what's best for her. Now, why would God be any different than that with us? God's goal for us is to turn us into what we... You sit with your child and you say, sweetheart, if you just knew what I knew, you would understand why I'm doing this or why I'm not allowing this. And she can't understand it, and she's crying and moaning and saying, you're a horrible parent, and why do you treat her this way? And everybody gets to do it. You know, of course they do. And she doesn't, and doesn't understand. And so one of the things I'm going to be putting to us every single time we're together is, tell me how you're better than your kids. Tell me. In your response to the discipline of God and the troubles of, that God allows in your life, are you any better than your squalling little girl who didn't understand, who simply could not see it from your perspective, who only saw it from her, thought she was right? How are you better than her? Are you better than her? So our goal is to be better than she was. She's a kid. Let's give her a break. You're not a kid. You are God's kid. But we have perspective that she doesn't have. We have life underneath us that she doesn't have. And so I think God expects more of us. I indeed believe that. So the purpose of trial in our life is that God is completing a work in us to make us into what he wants us to be. That's his agenda. His agenda is the rule. And you can buck that agenda. You can hope it doesn't happen. But I'm telling you, if you're his child, you bear his name. That's his agenda for you. We're all moving in one direction. It's like a big old, we talked about sheep last time. He's herding the sheep, okay? Sheep are going. And they may not like where they're going, but he's not really concerned so much about what you like. God's goal is not your happiness. God's goal, ultimate happiness, yes. God's goal is your sanctification, your character. Happiness will come, but it comes at the end of this. It's certainly not the engine on the train. Never get tired of this passage of scripture, Romans 8:28. And this is part of knowing why troubles come into our lives and what God's doing with them. And we know this is an assumption, right? It should be a safe assumption, but sometimes I wonder in my own life, do I really know that? I mean, am I really going along? Am I going along with God's program and the troubles that he is allowing in my life from the perspective of, yeah, I'm better than my kids. I know that what you're doing is what's best for me, and because you love me, and you're allowing this into my life because you love me. And I also know that even if it isn't good, because it doesn't say it's good, it says he works it for good. It doesn't say what you're going through is good. He's not calling evil good. Don't you do it either. God, we know that in all things, not all things, right? Categorical. The good, the bad, the fun, the sad, the hard, the easy. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It's an exclusive crowd. It's not true for the lost person. It's not true. It's not true. That's one of the reasons why they need to be saved. Not true for them, but true for those who know the Lord. Works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And our goal needs to be to work with him in that. Not buck the system. Not fight it. Go with it. Be settled with it. If this is where God has me at this point in my life, then I'm okay with that. God's in control. He's in control of my life. I wish things were different, but they're not. And so I'm good with that. I'm trusting him that he's in control and he's working things together for good. Our theme verse through this entire time, though, ultimate theme verse, we're going to be referring to several here, though, but it's out of Job. Talk about a guy who knew what trouble was. Wow, Job, what a life, huh? Job 23, verse 10. Let's read it together. But he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. This is the process you're under. He knows. He's not asking. He doesn't consult. He is completely informed with whatever position you're in, whatever trouble you're going through, whatever things are happening in your life. He knows. He's not guessing. He knows the direction you're taking. He knows when he's finished trying you, he knows what the outcome's going to be. His passion for you is to reach the gold level, if you will. You're headed there. He's got you headed there. But it may seem like you're on a really bad road right now. You need to know he knows. He knows where he's got you. He doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what other people say. Job had a terrible time with what people told him. Terrible time. Most of the book is concerned with what other people said. Like I said last Sunday, don't listen to faithless people. Stop listening to faithless people. You're going through a really, really hard time. I wouldn't talk to anybody that hadn't been through a really hard time. Because they're not going to understand. And give them grace, okay? Give them grace. They just haven't been where you are. And so the advice they're going to give is based upon something less than what you're going through. And, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's not because they're not intending to lead you wrong necessarily, but they are basically faithless when it comes to this because they've not been through what you've been through. So give them grace, okay? Their troubles are coming, and you'll be standing there to lovingly accept them and say, you know, I've been right where you are. I know what you've been through. Let me help you through this. And you're going to try to find a person that's been through that same thing because that's what God puts us together for as Christians and as a church. So, and then, of course, the verse that we looked at Sunday, such an important verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Boy, don't we want those plans to come about? When, God? I'm ready for the plans. Well, the plans aren't coming about because God knows you're not ready for the plans. So he's got plans to get you ready for the plans. That makes sense? Because he knows if he carries out these plans before you're ready for these plans that you're going to mess it up. And so he's shaping you into the person who can handle the plans. Sound good? You come out like gold. That is his ultimate plan for you. But he's got plans to get you there. So you need to go with him and accept those plans and go with it as much as you possibly can. Plans, he's shaping you, he's educating you, he's refining you, he's molding you. And so this whole series is going to be about taking the difficult things that God has allowed into our lives so that we can get to the place where the blessings can come. All right? We can agree with God, we can walk with God. And as I said this past Sunday, I'm not sure if I said it to all the services, but think of trouble as an education. Education is expensive. It is expensive. It is painful. It is wearisome. I remember getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning, going to at school. My mom wasn't there to get me up. She wasn't there to feed me breakfast. She wasn't there to wash my clothes. I found a way. You can wear underwear more than a week. You really can. The only thing that breaks a boy of that is a girl, by the way. He'll brush his teeth and change his underwear when a girl comes into his life, but not until then. Education is painful, it's wearisome, it's difficult, it's monotonous, it's frustrating, it's refining, it doesn't get over near soon enough. It's confronting because you thought you were smart and now you realize you're not. So trouble works the same way. It's just like an education. God's getting us ready for something. He's preparing us something. So let's consider our theme verse again. I'm sorry, I skipped it, didn't I? But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Maybe you should memorize that verse, especially if you're going through a hard time. Five things to know about troubles. First of all, they're common. Happen all the time. Everybody here is in several, probably not just one, but several different types of pressures and troubles. In the house of God, all the kids are getting it. They just are. All of them are. You're either under discipline because you're disobedient, or you're under discipline because you're obedient. There are certain things I did or did not do, not because I didn't want to, because I just didn't want to get in trouble. And then as I got older, because I just didn't want to break my parents' heart. Your kids probably weren't like mine, but my kids, if they didn't have pressure on their lives, I don't think they would have done a single thing right. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. They know, they're born knowing how to do that. You raise them, you let them do whatever they want to do, and they'll do whatever they want to do, and hardly any of it will be good. And none of it will be beneficial to them. They will not eat the right foods, they will not sleep at the right times, they will not do the right things, they will not treat people, they will not act, they will not have anything good about their lives. And even with all the pressures and troubles that you bring into their lives, to shape them out, to shake that stuff out of them, they still have a hard time, don't they? That's just the way we are. So there's all of God's kids are getting it. It's common. Many kinds of trouble, second thing. There's big ones, there's little ones. Some of you here are going through some really tough stuff. God knows. There's brief ones, there's long ones. Some trouble lasts an entire life. It just does. Life is short. That's, the good news is you get to go to heaven. Part of the good news. There are many kinds, irritating ones, devastating ones. Some stretch us, some shatter us. But everybody encounters troubles. Let's have a working definition. You might want to write this down. There's going to be notes. And in fact, our friend Joanne over here is working on them right now. Let's work on a working definition of the word trouble. What is trouble? Trouble, this is a good definition. And by the way, let me say this. The notes that I have, some of them, a good portion of them come from Dr. James McDonald. Anybody know Dr. James McDonald? Chicago, I can't remember the church or what it's called. I listen to him on the radio down here. He is awesome. And it's his series, not on trouble, but on when life gets hard. It's pulling from some of the stuff of his series, the stuff that I'm teaching you. I want to make sure and give him credit. But there's not that many guys, it seems anymore, that are preaching on the airwaves that I could recommend, but he is definitely one of them. Dr. James McDonald, his ministry, his preaching, I highly recommend him to you. So let me say that. But back to our working definition. And by the way, this is his definition. I want to make sure and give him credit for it but it's awesome. Troubles are painful circumstances allowed by God into our lives to change our conduct, that's what we do, and our character, who we are. Trouble are painful circumstances allowed by God into our lives to change both our conduct and our character. That's what they are. That's their purpose. So whatever trouble you're having or experiencing in your life, apply the definition. God has allowed it to change your character and to change your conduct. So that's the third thing. Five things about trouble. The fourth thing, you're going through a trial right now, no matter who you are. God doesn't take any days off. You go to sleep as a parent and your kid sneaks out of the house. God doesn't do that. You never get away with anything. You think, well, you don't get away with mom. Well, let me tell you something. I got away from stuff. My kids got away with some stuff. We're only finding out about it now. They all do because you're not omniscient, not omnipotent. But God is. Never takes a day off. Never sleeps. Kids are not getting away with anything, even though it may seem like it. The good work that he's performing in you is going to be completed in the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to see to that. You can be certain of it. In many different terms, we using the term trouble for the most part, but we could call it suffering, we can call it hardship, we can call it difficulties. We can call it, as we're going to see this morning, chastening, discipline, testing, trials, and then of course, like I said, the word that we're using most often this morning is the word trouble. So what is the discipline of the Lord? Well, let's consider here. We're in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to begin down in verse 5. What is the discipline of the Lord? The discipline of the Lord is, well, look at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. That's an important word. We're going to get to the definition of that in just a second. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son he receives. Like I said, all God's kids are getting it. It is for discipline that you endure. That word discipline, now we need a definition of it. Well, the same word is used in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and I've emphasized that word for us. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing. That's the word, same word that's being used in the book of Hebrews. Instructing us, teaching us. What is discipline? It is an education. God is educating you. He's instructing you. He's shaping you. He's molding you. Instructing us to deny ungodliness. That's where he's headed. He's got you on that program. And worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in the present age. Don't you want that? Not as much as God does. God wants that for your life. And so he's instructing you in that. And he uses, among other things, troubles to bring that home into your life. By the way, trouble doesn't necessarily mean you've done anything wrong. We're going to get to the difference. What's the difference between troubles and consequences? We're going to talk about that in just a second. But give me a bit before we get there. So God loves is not a pampering love. It's a love that's a perfecting love. It's not a here's a cupcake, sweetie, you'll be happy. No, it's a get up early, buttercup, work hard, do your best, eat right, be courteous, learn the right way and do not do the wrong way, and then you will be happy. Kind of love. That's the way he loves us. That's the way he loves us. And so even though we have different philosophies on corporal punishment, you need to know something. God spanks his kids. All of them. I don't know where you stand on that. And you know, we spanked our kids, and I was spanked growing up, but anymore, when I hear of people spanking kids, as messed up as people are, I wonder, should everybody spank their kids? Because some people are just so off. I wouldn't, you know, should you know, for certain people, yeah, he's fine spanking his kids, but this man over here, oh no, he's got issues. So I'm the same way with gun control. I want guns, but I may not want you to have one because I don't necessarily trust you. I know it can't be that way, but it's sort of that way. You know, we're getting to any more where less and less people have sense, and so I don't know what we do with that, but it's kind of the way. But you know, God has always got a clear head, always. He spanks his kids. He's so serious about sanctifying us and salvation that he started the work in us, and now he's working on this sanctification. Like I said, so as the writer of Hebrews says, "Have you forgotten?" And he goes into quoting from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Where have you been? Have you forgotten that God spanks his kids? And that once you become a part of God's household, that's the way God works? We're all under discipline here. All of us are getting it. All of us are under pressure. Because God knows if he turns us loose, just like our kids, if we just turn them loose, we don't turn into anything good. So he's not turning you loose. He's not giving up on you. Don't regard, as it says there in verse 7, it is for discipline that you endured. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there who is the father does not discipline? Do not regard lightly, as it says there. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. When God moves towards you to make changes in your life and your conduct and character, don't take it casually. Don't take it resentfully or unappreciatively. Lee, maybe difficult for you to grasp this, but have you thanked God for the trouble that's in your life? So if you laid into your kids because they were really bad, did any of them ever come back around to you and say, "Thank you so much"? Now they're kids. How are you better than them? How are you more mature than them? Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. I mean, he's God, like I said, committee of one. He doesn't consult. He knows what he's doing. He's not guessing. My dad spanked both my brother and I, but usually that was probably pretty accurate. But because he really didn't, you know, something blows up and we're both out there. Well, who did it? Well, I don't know. Spanked both of those kids. Most likely it was accurate. When the goal is transformation, though, you need to understand God's coming in hard, and you're going to know when he's there. You're going to know it. When your father or mother disciplined you, did they have your attention, or were you kind of like, "Yeah, let's get this over with"? My dad had my attention. And I promise you, when God comes in hard to discipline, he will have your attention. And whether it's discipline or whether it's just trouble, you know, we do not treat it with a yawn or with ho-hum. The tone is real intense. Anybody here ever bounced a check? Anybody? My wife and I bounced three, I think, right, honey? And I know two of those were tithe checks to our church. And it was a snafu, and we were working as missionaries in Yellowstone National Park at the time, and there was a snafu with her paycheck from her. She was teaching school in Fort Worth at the time, and there was some kind of snafu, and so we wrote the tithe check, but in fact the money hadn't been deposited in our account. And so NSF, and of course when you get NSF, what do? Another $35, right? It doesn't make any sense. I already can't pay my bills, and you're going to add one more bill to it, right? And that's sometimes the way discipline feels. God, I mean, you're bringing discipline or troubles into my life. I'm already not doing well. I'm already bouncing, if you will, character checks and conduct checks. I'm already doing that. And now you're going to add to that other stuff. So it feels like, you know, come on, God, give me a break. I mean, you already know that I'm a mess and that I can't handle stuff and I don't have it together and I need my sleep and I don't have it emotionally. You need to let up on me, and you need to know something. As you're speaking to God, that's exactly what He's after in you. That you come to Him. He wants your attention. You need to give Him your attention. He wants you to come in front of Him and say, I can't do this. That's the goal of trouble. The goal of trouble is to say, I'm really out of control. I really don't have it together. Because you really don't. I don't have the stuff, God. Yeah, and He's saying, yeah, I know. That's why I'm allowing this, because 20 minutes ago you thought you did, and now you're coming. Now here you are in front of me, and this is the right place for you to be. In fact, don't ever leave this spot. This is the best thing for you. And that's the whole thing about trials, so that God will get you before Him in humility and come to the end of yourself, so that you can come to trust and rely upon Him, and so that He can bring you to a new level of dependence upon Him. That's God's goal. Part of our sanctification, the only way we are sanctified is we grow greater independence upon the Lord. Not independence. Independence is our problem. Independence is what gets us in all the issues that we have and all the trials and tribulations that we're going through. So why does God discipline His children? Again, verses 5 and 6. Why does He do it? It says, for whom God loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline, it says in verse 6. Shows He loves us. If you love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. Anybody ever try the, with your kids, I'm only doing this because I love you. Did any of them, why do we tell them that? Because they never get it. They get it when they become our age and they have their own kids, but they do not get it when we're telling them that. Someday you'll understand. It's about the best you can say. Someday you'll understand, but you're not going to understand where you are. But again, we think when discipline comes into our lives, just like our kids, God's abandoned us. He's mean to us. He's doesn't care about us. It's far from the truth. It's the exact opposite. No, He loves us. He's closer in discipline maybe than He ever is in our lives. Moving toward us. He's not moving away from us. I mean, it's the proof of His love. Like I said, how many of your kids in the discipline said, now I know you love me because you discipline me? How are you better than your kids? That's the way they respond. How do you respond? Because I love you, that's why I do this. Well, it doesn't help at all because the kids don't get it. But are you better than they? You should be better. God never loses it. He's not like us in discipline. There's a chance that we would. God never goes too far. There's a chance that we would. It's all precise. It's all measured. We discipline from our incompleteness, right? Not God. Not God. He doesn't have an agenda other than what's best for us. He's not needy. God's not selfish. He doesn't care what the neighbors think. He's not getting something for Himself. It's none of that. That's not a part of any of it. He chastens those, not punishes, chastens those He loves. Jesus took the punishment for your sin. He's not punishing you. Punishment is hell. That's never ending. It's not redemptive. Chastening is redemptive. He's pulling you out of worse troubles for you. So we need to ask the question, is this just trial or is it a consequence? So here's a story for you. So, yeah, I'm having a really hard time. I was driving my car and I was drunk and I wrecked my car and I got thrown in jail. And this is just a trial God's got in my life. Is that a trial or consequence? It's a consequence, you knucklehead. Stop drinking. Stop it. It's not a trial. It's a consequence of you being an idiot, right? And that's everything, as the sign I read once said, everything happens for a reason, and sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and make bad decisions. Sometimes. So here's another example. Heart disease, trial or consequence? Could be both. You know, I may have mistreated my body for a long time. But sometimes, isn't it right? We do everything right. And, you know, bodies wear out. I mean, they just do. So it's not really a consequence. It's just, but it is a trial. Life is a trial. And part of it is we become ailing. And so we're going through that. I mean, a trial, but here's the difference. The difference between a trial and a consequence is that a trial cannot be repented of. I can repent of my alcoholism. Should. But I can't repent of a trial. I can't repent of heart disease. I'm so sorry for being sick. I mean, what can I say? But it is a trial. It is a struggle. And there's something for me to gain in that process. God has allowed it, but even though I didn't cause it, and sometimes, like I said, it's a mix of both things. But God is treating us, again, like it says here, He's treating us as sons, verse 7 and 8. If not for discipline that you endure, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline, verse 8? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Everything's great in my life, has been for a long time. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing because the children of God are getting it. So you need to analyze your life. Am I really a child of God? Because the children of God are under discipline. They just are. They're till the day they die. They're under pressure. And so I got to wonder, you know, we aim for the good life, but, you know, there's always stuff coming in. Because God allows those things. And we realize the good life is being content with Him and content with the walk that I have with Him and not necessarily all the variables that can change on me at any given time. My health, my circumstances, my kids, my job, all these things. That's not where my happiness is. My happiness is in Him. So we have to admit several things about it. Sometimes chastening becomes overwhelms us. And here's the reasons why. Here's three good reasons why chastening will overwhelm you if you allow it to. The chastening of God will overwhelm you if you won't admit He's right. I'm perfect. I don't know what He's doing. I have nothing wrong with me. Yeah, you're going to have a hard time with God's chastening. I'm better than everybody in my church. And maybe you are, but you're not better than Jesus. So He chastens. You admit that He's right. God, I don't know. Maybe you have to say, I'm not sure what He's trying to change, but I'm open to whatever that is. That's a good response. That's a great response. God knows. He knows me better than I know myself. I'm not really clued into what's happening here, but I know that He's a good God and He's got a purpose in this. Good answer. Bad answer is, I don't know why. I've not done anything to deserve this. You don't even have a conversation with God what you deserve. God only owes you hell. He doesn't owe you anything else. And so, like I said, if you're not in hell, then it's a good day. Chastening overwhelms us when we don't want to admit He's right. Chastening overwhelms us, number two, when we blame others for our problems. If everybody else would act right, this kind of stuff wouldn't happen. Well, even without everybody acting right, or if they did, you're still going to have trouble if you're God's child. Again, it's admitting that He's got a process and a purpose in this. Number three, chastening overwhelms us when we don't take full responsibility for our own stuff. Like I said, you're looking at somebody else's stuff. No, analyze. Turn into yourself and say, who am I really? How far do I have to go? You may think you're all that, and that's a problem, because you're not. Chastening can't overwhelm us. So how should we respond to the God? We should respond by saying He's right. We should not blame others. We should take responsibility for our own stuff. And then here's the fourth thing. What results from the Lord's discipline, verse 10? Actually, let's read verse 9 and 10. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Why would I want to share in his holiness? There's a real good reason that I would want. Kids are disciplined by parents for only a short time. Parenting is over pretty quickly, but God's parenting lasts our entire lives. Our kids are grown, and we've heard the what is it they tell us, honey? Don't give advice, unsolicited advice to your kids, because they take it as criticism. If they ask you, say, well, if it was me, but just to volunteer, my youngest is 20 years old, oldest is 24. They got to, you know, if they want advice, here we are. But if they don't, you know, God bless you. We're praying for you. But you got to grow up, you know. Discipline's over, you know, the parenting life is over now. We're voluntarily advisors, but nothing else. God never happens that way with God. We're always his kids, always in his house. We don't grow more and more independent of him. God's goal is for us to grow more and more dependent upon him. And so our kids are not dependent upon us because we're sinners just like them. We don't have it all together. We've not figured it out. So there's a certain part where they got to go out on their own and not be dependent upon us and start dependent upon the Father. Hopefully we're trust them over to God. And that's the only way they really grow. They just always dependent upon us. Well, then they never really grow because they're not really in contact with the real Father that's out there. So how do I make the most of the discipline of the Lord? We're going to conclude with that. We've been together for a bit and enough to swallow for now. Like I said, we're going to have the notes out here. Maybe even not necessarily at the end of this, but let's look at verse 11. How do I make the most of the discipline of the Lord? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Are you having fun in whatever you're going through? Me neither. Keeps me up, worries me, stresses me. All discipline does not seem joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, it's the same concept. What is discipline? It's training, education. Decide right now that whatever you're going through, you're going to get your education. I'm going to study my books. I'm going to pass my tests. One of the things I say to myself on a regular basis when we deal with different troubles, different situations, is that this is a test. And I'm going to pass this test. I'm going to pass. I'm going to become smarter. That's what it takes to pass the test. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to learn. I'm not going to sit back and fold my arms and say, I don't want to learn anymore. I'm fine where I am. Well, he'll turn up the heat. Because he's got you in school. And his goal is for you to pass. And if you fail the test, you get to retake the test. You don't want that. Well, I don't want to go down the street, but one time, this bad road that I've been on, I don't want to reset the whole thing and go again. Nope. I'm taking this one time and one time only. And so I'm going to get all that I possibly can out of it. Later it says it yields the fruit of righteousness. God is bringing us, as it says there in the previous verse, he's bringing us to his holiness. And we say, why? I don't need holiness in my life. I mean, holiness is everybody just kind of falls asleep when people say, you need to be holy. Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. No, holiness is happiness. Because sin is what's bringing all the stress and the strain and the issues and the tears, and that if you eliminated sin from your life and those you loved, your life would be so much better. You can't do anything about them, but you can do something about yourself. God's goal is your holiness, because can we not say that God's happy? You think God is God either happy or sad? He may be sad about you. But he himself is not sad. Never. Ever. He's happy. He wants you to be like him. Come over here and be with me. This is the happy place. Not you going out there doing whatever you want to, which is what you've been asking me to do. No. Come underneath my discipline. And then you're going to learn through these trials and difficulties of the education I'm bringing through, that once you learn these things, then once you're over here with me, you're going to say, man, this is the happy place. Heaven's going to be a happy place because it's going to be a holy place. Calling us to his holiness. Happiness is, you know, like I said, we wouldn't say that his righteousness is happiness. It really indeed is. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Peaceful. peace of mind, peace of life. So pain is momentary. It will not last forever. Even if it lasts your entire life, you're not going to live that long. It may not be bad, good news or bad news. But God's goal is to not leave you here. Take you out. But the process while he's got you here is to make you as happy as you possibly could be. And that's through a process called trouble and discipline. So the pain is momentary. Profit is immense. The promise is conditional to those who have been trained by it. I don't want to take these tests. I don't want to learn. I don't want to grow. Well, you're going to be in a cycle of repeating and repeating and repeating until you get it. Some of you have been on those cycles. You know, like I quit doing things early on, a lot of things, just simply because I was sick of getting caught. I was sick of the trouble it brought into my life. And I learned later on to start responding to God, not as, I just don't want to be caught anymore, instead of, I don't want to break your heart anymore. And that's the goal that God has for us. Yeah, whatever his plan he's got for me, I don't want to break his heart. I want to be in the middle of that plan. And I want to become what he wants me to be in the process of that plan. So we're going to stop right there, and I can take some questions, and I can't guarantee you I can answer all of them, but we'll give it a shot. And we're going to be pursuing this. We're going to be looking at six different passages in the New Testament that talk about God's discipline, talk about God's trouble that he allows in our lives. Six different passages, different facets and ways to look at trouble. It's not just discipline. It's not just, oh, well, I did something wrong. No, there's a lot of other things that happen to us that have nothing to do with us doing anything wrong. But trouble still comes. Fact is, you can live a perfect life and you're going to have a lot of trouble nonetheless.